on 774 ABC Melbourne. You're listening to Raphael Epstein. Call now on 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774. You're with Raf. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live it out of dreams.
Yeah, we're not playing that just because it's Josh Nelson's latest workout tune. It is also a song, Everything is Awesome by Tegan and Sara from Lego the Movie. Josh Nelson joins us. You can check out his blog, filmology.com. It's spelt with a PH. Josh, welcome.
Good afternoon. That is a great workout tune, by the way, but it'll never get out of your head.
Earworm death. Look, I do want to know what the Lego film is like. I haven't seen that yet. I have seen Captain America. We'll start with Lego. I want to hear from you on the film, your very, very first film. And I like this one because I've never seen the film, but I know this is a common memory. From Louise, I was 4 and a half. My mother left me to watch Watership Down, not knowing what it was about. I can still vividly recall the rabbits killing each other. She was traumatized. Let us know your first film memory. It needs to be a cinema one, I think. We'll confine it to that. Otherwise, go for broke. 1300 222 774. So, Josh, we had a chat to the animator from Lego. It looks like stop-motion animation. It isn't. Is it good?
Well, as a critic not prone to hyperbole, this will be the best film I'll see this year.
Right. Oh, right. It's that good.
It is pretty awesome, actually. It's an appropriate theme song. There's something quite wonderful about this. The first thing I did when I got home was break out all my Lego. And you know, it's the Toy Story factor. It's the nostalgia.
I don't know what's funniest about that you did it, or that living out of home, you know where your Lego is.
I've got it stored in a lovely Lego head.
Of course you do. Look,
I think there's probably the greatest wonder about this film is that the script operates entirely for adults, and on a visual level, it has that frenetic, that colourful pace that I think kids loved. I thought I was enjoying this more than the children. And, you know, very packed cinema, I should say, when I saw this, was enjoying it more, and then got out and would hear the whispers of kids as they sort of left, you know, out of the cinema door screaming, "That was the best film I ever saw,
Dad!"
Right.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's basically a hero quest sort of multi-genre narrative. It opens with a prophecy and an exchange between Morgan Freeman, who's very much in a kind of a Morpheus-style role named Vitruvius, who regales us with the prophecy of the peace of resistance. The peace that will bring harmony to the Lego galaxy. And we have Evil Lord Business, voiced by Will Ferrell, who promises to kind of wreak vengeance on the Lego world. And then it cuts to a very commonplace everyday world. We have Emmett, who's the sort of the everyday hero, voiced by Chris Pratt, who's in everything at the moment and is great in everything. And what follows is a kind of sci-fi social satire, this idea of everything's commonplace, everything's in a routine, everything is awesome. And he's sort of thrust headlong into this prophecy world where he realizes that the world of Bricksburg is only part of a broader, sprawling Legoverse.
You're taking your first step into a wider world.
It is very much in that Matrix, John Carpenter's They Live, Idiocracy. Like, the social satire here is pretty biting and really clever. Like, the script has been honed wonderfully. And from a visual point of view, it's great. But what I loved about the way in which the film builds is the way in which all the Lego worlds start to kind of coalesce. So you get that real sense of childhood play where imagination is not bounded to one, say, franchise, where all the franchises start to blur. So it's an opportunity for Lego, I guess, to kind of showcase the various franchises that they've blended. But it doesn't feel like a cynical exercise in marketing. It doesn't feel like this is just an excuse to sell more Lego. Okay. Not that they need to. Like, I think as a business, they're doing pretty well. And the voice cast is exceptional. There's a wonderful cameo. I'm not going to spoil too many of them, but Will Arnett from Arrested Development does possibly the best Batman voice you've ever heard.
I've heard a bit of this. I've heard a bit of that. Look, I want to find out more about the Lego film, but I want to give Ron in Keilor a chance to tell us his first film memory. Hi there, Ron.
Hi, Raph. How are you? Good.
Yeah, we're well. What's yours?
If my memory serves me right, Raph, it was King Kong. Now, I'm sure it was not a silent movie, but I was only about five. I'm 84 now.
Right.
But I remember sitting on my mother's knee at the Capitol Theatre in Melbourne and watching King Kong climbing up the tower or whatever.
So this is the black and white 20s version, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And my mother was trying to hide my face in her bosom there, so I wouldn't watch part of it, but I wanted to see it all.
It's too scary.
Yeah.
Have you been back and watched it?
I haven't, to be honest. I was going to go in and see the show that they had here, but I never got to it, unfortunately, Raph. But
look, I love that memory. I wonder when I don't know when the Capitol was built. But look, thank you, Ron. You might want to check out the latest one. Actually, it's got some pretty good animation. While we're on animation, we did have a chat to the lead animator from the Lego film, Rob Coleman. It looks very much like stop motion animation. It isn't. It looks like someone's used their Lego bricks to construct a film. Have a listen to what Rob Coleman said about the integrity of the characters.
So when the filmmakers came to us and said, look, we want to honor the plastic nature of these characters, can you make it look like it was done, with real Lego on a real table with real lights and real camera? Can you do that? And we jumped at the chance. We said, absolutely.
There you go. That's Rob Coleman. And I want to give you some idea of the humor in this film. This isn't from the film. This is from a little featurette they put on the web. This is Morgan Freeman joking about being Morgan Freeman being played by Morgan Freeman. You'll understand what I mean when you have a listen.
It was an honor to be portrayed by the golden-voiced Morgan Freeman. That man could read the phone book and make it sound interesting. 555-3492. Just listen to that rich molasses.
Oh, I just love that. So no, that's not in the film, but that's the kind of humor, isn't it?
It is. It's really rich. The script is spot on, and it is that dual layer. I mean, I think the Toy Story films were got their notoriety because of that way they targeted adults and kids across the board. I think this is even a step up from, say, Toy Story 3 in terms of the way in which it has that
multi-level.
Multi-level, yeah.
Love it. Look, if you've seen Lego film, by the way, let us know. I'll read a few of these texts. My first movie was The Battle of Midway with my dad and two brothers in a little country cinema when I was 8. Maybe explains my passion for war history. That's from Melinda. And Raph, E.T., I was 4 or 5. It's a classic, and the flying bike scene is etched into my memory and into my heart with a smile emoticon. Josh, you're wearing your E.T. T-shirt. Your first memory?
Yeah, surprisingly. E.T., I was 3 or 4. I remember it was at Knox Cinemas. I think it was a 12:30 session.
Yeah. Oh, you remember the time.
You know what? This is one of those weird things where, surprise, surprise, my actual first childhood memory is, in fact, the memory of seeing E.T. and the trauma of seeing E.T., moment where he's dying about halfway through. He looks like he's been rolled in flour and he puts his hand up on the case and he is dying.
You're still traumatized by that,
aren't you? No, this is the memory. I'm bawling and I remember turning around to the seats behind me and there were kids who were laughing and the trauma of just assuming that they were laughing at my tears.
Yeah, right.
Now it doubles the emotional trauma and I cry every time I watch this film and it's still one of my all-time favorites.
There you go, bit of E.T.
E.T., can you say that? Can you say E.T.? E.T.
E.T. E.T., 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 be good.
Be good. I taught him that too.
Phone.
Drew Barrymore's still doing good stuff.
He said phone?
E.T. Phone home.
I still cry with the bike scene, by the way. There's two things I still cry in. The bike scene, and every time the X-Wing falls into the canyon in Star Wars, I get this sort of, I remember that I'm 6. 1300-222-774 is the phone number. Duncan's call from Greensboro. Hi, Duncan.
Hey, how you doing?
What's yours?
Mine is 1983 Flash Gordon. Went to Kilmore Primary School. We all rolled in at the end of the year into a hall, and we watched Flash Gordon, and I can relate to the tears. As Ming was beating the bejesus out of Flash Gordon, I did have a little tear come out my eye, hoping that Flash Gordon would come out at the end. That's the one. And also, I've watched it again in recent years, and it's not as mystical when you watch it 20 years on.
No, but that's okay. Still, it's a decent film.
Not too bad.
Top Bowl's okay too, as the crazy scientist. I like it. I remember seeing that at the Forum.
The lead actor from Flash Gordon was out here last year doing the Comic-Con circuit. He's now running military security for executives of Sony across the Mexican-American border. So he's still a superhero.
Look, we're also going to talk about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, but I do want to know your first film memory. I'll do this one because I can. Tony's called from Alphington. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Raph. How are you?
And tell me your first memory. I want to share with you.
Well, yes, Star Wars, the first Star Wars movie. But I went there with my sister in the holidays. I remember walking down the street afterwards. We walked past the milk bar, the old-fashioned milk bar, making a milkshake in one of those milkshake maker stand things, and the noise that it was making was exactly the same as Darth Vader's aircraft. We looked around, looked at each other, and looked in there, expecting him to burst out and sort of start shooting up Marlborough Street in Geelong.
Very spooky, Tony. I love it. I'll never forget Star Wars. Thanks for calling. I think it's kind of shaped my life, watching Star Wars for the first time. And Nige just called from North Fitzroy. Hi there, Nige.
Oh, hey, Raph. Hey, Josh.
Hey.
Hey, guys. My first movie was 1994's epic Satan Tango, 432-minute epic about communist Hungary and a collective farm coming to an end. It's wonderful. My parents took me to see it in the cinema, and I just cried through the whole thing.
And how old were you, Nige?
Well, I was in my sort of, you know, I was a child, let's just say that. I prefer not to tell you with my actual age. But, yeah, it was my first movie. I was somewhere between 5 and 10, and it was breathtaking. It was cinematic genius. Bellatar is quite a wonderful director.
Right.
And I would recommend that to any parent to take their
first. So what sort of films were your parents showing you sort of, you know, before you were a teenager?
Well, I sort of, you know, most people get a little bit of a guide from their parents, and my parents liked European black and white art house cinema.
Yeah, a bit of Fellini, a bit of Tarkovsky.
Surely some Eisenstein.
Oh, some Eisenstein, yeah. Battleship Potemkin, maybe?
Quite possibly. I can't remember all of them. I was just a child, Raph.
Yeah, have you done cinema studies at uni, by the way, Nige?
Well, actually, Raph, I minored in cinema studies a few years ago. I actually tried to get into, talking about Bellatar, I tried to get into his film school in Hungary, but it's the waiting list goes back for years, so I couldn't quite get there. But yeah, maybe one day. And I do love my movies. It's more of a hobby than anything, though, Raph.
Sure.
I mean, and you can't make a career out of cinema studies, can you?
I'm not so sure.
Certainly not.
And what have you got a thought on multiplexes? Like, do you sort of avoid them, or they're kind of okay and acceptable?
Oh, if the movie's okay. I mean, it'd be good if the popcorn was a little cheaper.
Yeah, sure. Superhero films, watching with detached irony or thorough enjoyment?
Oh, a sneaky enjoyment, I think, Raph, every now and again. I liked, I really liked The Green Hornet. I thought that was wonderful.
Okay, nice. Thanks for calling. Ah, must mean that the Cudaveens are on tomorrow. Struggling. And we'll talk about Captain America in the moment, but Dennis has called from Q.
G'day, Raph. My first film memory was Superman 2, but I only made it halfway through the movie. When Superman lost his powers, I got very upset because I was only about 4 and Dad had to take me home.
Oh, that's a bit sad, Dennis. We'll give you a bit of Superman there. In fact, I remember singing this theme tune in the back of the car and driving my parents nuts.
Yeah, that's always in my head, that Superman tune. So, you know, memories from when you're little never leave you.
You'll believe, Dennis, that a man can fly.
You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Just some of your great texts on your first film experiences. Raph, showing my age, Boy on a Dolphin with Sophia Loren. She was a Greek sponge diver, ooh la la, who found a statue underwater. We used to roll Jaffas down the cinema. She's still gorgeous. That's from Cherry in South Kingsville. I like this one too. Greece, I was 10. I later asked Mum why Rizzo thought she was pregnant. That's from Nicole. And Lisa in North Caulfield. My sister took me to the drive-in to see The Shining. I was 6 years old. I'm still scared to this day. Wow. We'll get on to Captain America in a moment, but Sam wants to know from Josh if the Lego film is appropriate for young kids. The son is 4.5.
I would say yes. Son of a friend of ours is 6, and he's a kind of a good barometer for is it too scary or not. He had no problem whatsoever and gave the film 10,000 stars.
10,000? There you go. The thumbs up from Josh. Let's have a little listen to the trailer. Marvel are rolling them out. They're coming off the production line. This is the second Captain America film.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier. He's a ghost. You'll never find him.
Little bit of Captain America. It's kind of funny. It's kind of action. It's kind of a bit of everything we've come to expect from Marvel. Josh, the basic premise and what you thought?
So continuing the sprawling Marvelverse that began with, well, preempting the Avengers and all the sub-characters that the franchise has at this stage, up and planned up until, what did we say last week, 2024. This one focuses on Captain America, and Black Widow has a major part here. The Scarlett Johansson, Scarlett, don't call me ScarJo Johansson. Did you hear that this week? And it involves basically the Captain America trying to reconcile himself to contemporary day America, because most of the first Captain America film focused on the World War II and his nemesis Red Skull. And one of the problems I had with the first Avenger was that the Red Skull seemed like an afterthought in terms of the villain. It was really there at the start and the end and nothing in between. And it sort of lost its way trying to do the origin story as well. What I think really works about this film, and what I think makes it probably the best of the franchise bar the Avengers, is that it melds together a sort of a self-contained narrative that works on a kind of grand political level, the backdrop of S.H.I.E.L.D. and maybe a kind
worldwide
of
worldwide surveillance, that sort of thing.
Yep. And also on a personal level of Captain America and the way it introduces the villain character of Winter Soldier, where he begins, it's almost like the monster movie, you get a glimpse for a couple of scenes at the beginning, and then by the end, then the monster or the villain emerges in earnest, and you get the great kind of climactic battle scene. So I thought structurally, I thought the film worked really well. I also thought the humour, there's some great banter between Captain America and Black Widow. Scarlett Johansson is great in this film. I think she's been sort of lost in the earlier films, but she actually gets something in her character to kind of do here, which is, you know, apart from just standing and having low-angle camera tracking shots follow her from behind. And I think the film won me over. I mean, it's long. It's almost 2.5 hours. But in saying that, the spectacular action is great. So it works on a kind of visceral level. It works on a sort of a pseudo-political subtext level. And the humour. The two directors, the Russo brothers, have a background in TV comedy. They directed some of Arrested Development and also Community. And you get that sense. It has the pithiness and the punchiness that we got with Joss Whedon's Avengers.
Yeah, I love it. I really, really enjoy it. It's got the same, you're right, it's exactly the same sort of humour as the Avengers. I don't think they'll ever quite top the Avengers, but it's a lot of fun. And Robert Redford's great. He's got a significant part, and he's marvellous.
He's having a good year for, what do we say, he's 77?
Is he over 80? I can't remember now.
He's doing very well after all his loss. But yeah, he's a great presence as well to have.
Quite enjoying the Marvel franchise. Actually, the thought I had was, this is like being in the middle of one of those really long-running TV shows like, I mean, it's not as good as Breaking Bad or The Wire, but there are now so many Marvel films. It's just another chapter in quite a good ongoing series. And they've got the vibe, they've got the jokes, they've got the violence, they've got the political commentary. It all kind of melds together quite well. Decent story arc. Fun.
Yeah, and this one worked. And I think it is that balancing act that maybe those first films, because I think the weakest ones have been the first Iron Man, the first Captain America. And it is that struggle to reconcile or combine the origin story with an actual kind of self-contained narrative. And as the sequels have progressed, I think the films are getting genuinely better.
Like it, Captain America, Winter Soldier and Lego are the films we've been talking about. Also talking about the first film you saw at the cinema. I'm enjoying the texts and experiences of people being terrified by their first film. When I saw Dracula, I was 6. It took ages to get over it. Scared my pants off. Yes, I got taken to see Alien when I was very young, and it just completely terrified me. That should not be shown to kids under 10. Absolutely not. And I like this text. Hi, Raph. The first movie I remember seeing was Storm Boy. Oof, that would have hurt. I was 5 and I cried. Yeah, I'm sure you did. The text continues. We took our kids aged 4 and 10 to the drive-in to see the Lego movie. They thought it was awesome. They won't be subjected to Storm Boy anytime soon, though. Oh, wow, there you go. Thank you for all of your calls. We were, of course, talking about Captain America, Winter Soldier, Lego the movie. You probably won't be able to go to a cinema and avoid either of them. They're both on wide release. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Josh Nelson, he is a film critic. You can check out his blog at filmology.com. That's phfilmology.com.